Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this contest is scheduled for one fall with a 90-minute time limit. This is the Raw Impact Unleashed. Please welcome to the sanctuary at this time, at a combined weight of 420 pounds, they're your co-hosts for the evening, hailing from Northern California and known worldwide, it's K-Double, Black Lightning, your boy Cole, and White Thunder. They are the perfect storm. Get ready to unleash the Raw Impact.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all around the world, it's your boy Cole and K-Double. Get ready to have some trouble. This is your explicit warning. There may be vulgar violence and language and brief nudity. We don't know, but just in case, we're covering our asses. Alrighty then, enjoy the show.
Yo, Cole, what's up, motherfucker?
Nothing, chilling, man. Relaxing, maxing. Outside of school, shooting some b-ball. You know how it is.
Right on, right on. All right, man, so holler at me about what you was hollering at me about when we came on.
Oh, well, yeah, I was talking about TNA's Tournament of Champions, basically.
Okay.
You remember back in the day they did a little tournament style thing where it was based on like a point system. They basically reinstated the point system for this tournament. Which you know me, I could have cared less about the point system, but I know how you liked it because it was different and it was like new to the game and all that. So I had to mention it to you for that matter.
Go ahead. No, I'll say I can't remember what the gimmick was that they did, but I remember what you're talking about, where it was like they got 10 points for a win, 3 or 5 points for a submission victory, like they got like 3 points for a count out, you know, like, yeah, I remember that.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It definitely created an interesting way of doing things.
And basically the tournament is a 3-match tournament. Like you have basically you in this tournament to get to the top 16, the final 16, it's a 3-match tournament, and you get your points out of there, and it's kind of like a split, kind of like NASCAR. It's like
okay.
You don't have to win every race to win in points at the end of the year. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You finish in the top five every one and still finish ahead of people who won one or two races.
Right, right. So you could get into this the final 16 without actually winning all 3 matches. But yeah, they got 8 groups. They got 8 groups. They basically got the whole roster in this pre-tournament, you know?
yeah.
What they have is the champions group, which is EC3, and Aries, Bobby Lashley, and Mr. Anderson.
Okay.
And Mr. Anderson is basically out because he lost all 3 of his matches.
Okay.
I think it's ridiculous because he's one of the top talents they have. So they shouldn't have squashed him like that, in my opinion. Then they got the group of the future group, which is Eli Drake, Makai, Jesse Goddard, and Crimson.
Okay.
Okay, and then they got also the knockouts group, of course. You know, we kind of was like, why the hell are they doing that? We know a knockout isn't going to win the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, it was like, but they got to throw them in because that's pretty much all they're doing is the tournament matches. Now, so.
And they wanted to make sure that everybody got a chance and make, not necessarily everybody got a chance to make it fair, but everybody got a chance. Like, there's people out there who would legitimately like to see a knockout go on to win the TNA World Championship. We all know it's not going to happen, but there are genuinely people out there who wouldn't mind seeing that happen.
Right, right. And that's a small minority of folks. And that group consists of Gail Kim, Awesome Kong, Brooke, and Madison Rain.
So there's Saints girl, Kong. So she back with TNA, huh?
Yeah, she's been back for a while. She's been back, I'd say, for the last 6 to 8 months, maybe even a little bit longer than that. I don't think it's been a full year yet, but you know how a year in wrestling goes by so fast.
Yeah,
so she could have been there for you know, I'd say 6 months to a year, just to be on the safe side. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's that for it. Then you got the group, the TNA Originals.
Okay.
Which they ain't got too many more of them. which is hilarious that they actually got James Storm in this group. I'm not sure what the contract situation is going on with that guy, but I thought he was with WWE. Abyss, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, and James Storm is in that group.
All right.
Then you have your tag team specialist group. With Matt Hardy, Bobby E, Davey Richards, and Eddie Edwards.
Okay. So basically the Wolves.
Well, that's kind of a crazy dynamic because you actually split the Wolves up into singles, and they ended up wrestling each other, and it ended in a draw. So they only got 1 point for the draw. Matt Hardy's qualified. He's at the top. He won all three of his matches, standing at 9 points. Same as EC3 has qualified already with 7 points, winning all three of his matches. Gail Kim is actually qualified, winning two out of her three matches with 6 points. Getting back to I think I got three more groups to go through. They got Group UK.
All right.
Which is Drew Galloway, aka Drew McIntyre.
McIntyre.
Bram is back since the charges were dropped that went on a couple months ago with his girlfriend and whatnot. And by the way, the divorce papers to Charlotte have been signed and finalized. As of
Charlotte.
The last news I heard on that, yeah, he was engaged to Charlotte or married to Charlotte for a little while, and they split. And his new girlfriend. That's when the situation happened where you know it was illegal. I forgot what it was. It was on along the lines of kidnapping, but it wasn't. It was a false imprisonment. Imprisonment is what it was. But all those were dropped, so they reinstated Bram in TNA. So he's part of Group UK. Rockstar Spud, of course.
Grado.
You got to know who Grado is, right?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay, YouTube. Go to YouTube, type in Grado. It's Grado. You will fall in love with this guy. He was hilarious. He's just a super fan of wrestling that actually broke into wrestling and been wrestling for a few years now. He's from Glasgow. He's just hilarious. He wears the fanny pack like the old school wrestlers used to wear. His entrance over in Europe is kind of like a Goldberg entrance, except it's a popular song. It's a popular song that comes on, and he kind of like walks from his locker room, but the whole time from the locker room, the crowd itself is just singing this song, waiting on Grado to get there. They've even got the Goldberg chants for him, but it's Grado, Grado, like that instead of Goldberg, like that. Check him out. You got to go to YouTube, check him out. He's hilarious. And then we got the wild card group, which is Mahabali, Shea, Aiden O'Shea, Kenny King, and Crazy Steve. None of them have actually qualified. Same as Group UK. Nobody's qualified in that. And then you got the X Division group, which is DJ Z, which I don't think he deserves to be in the ring at all. Manic, Tiger Uno, or Tigray Uno, however you want to pronounce it, and Mandrews. That's their X Division, and that's eight different groups in this tournament. There's going to be in a six-man, so I'm thinking at least
there's eight groups in a 16-man tournament.
We'll make it on, yeah. If not, you'll have a split, maybe one out of this one and two out of this one and three out of that one. You know, it depends on how it all plays out. But right now, we only got a few qualifiers for that. So this is going to be going on for a little while. There's a lot of people that's only two out of three matches right now. So you've got a lot of matches left in this tournament. This tournament may be going on for months.
Probably.
Vacant is going to have the longest title run ever with TNA.
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you. You know, I got to give it to the Facebook page is stillrealtous.com because those vacant posts just had me on the floor. Like, I was dead. They were just funny as hell. Vacant is the new Vacant has more title reigns than Cena now. What is it? And then Vacant is the first and only man to ever hold the TNA and World Heavyweight and WWE World Heavyweight titles at the same time.
Yeah, I actually follow at WWE Vacant on Twitter.
Yeah,
and a lot of the stuff that they get comes from his Twitter page.
Okay,
and like he's done tried to get merch out there. Like he's done hit up at Mattel about a doll, and it's just a gray doll with a question mark on his chest. And then he even hit up WWEshop.com and was like, hey, y'all need to make this the new title belt right now. And he put question marks under the brackets on the side, you know, where like Seth Rollins' SR is.
Yeah.
So it's a question mark. Got shirts, vacant 316 t-shirt. One of the slogans was, but it was kind of like a Brock Lesnar slogan. It was like, show up, take titles, and leave, or something like that. You know, it was something off the wall. There's somebody that's actually got the persona of WWE vacant. On Twitter, which is hilarious. TNA vacant that's doing the same thing with TNA's title. Probably not. But But yeah, it was pretty hilarious when I found the dude on Twitter. Because I remember the last time when Brian vacated it, the same guy popped up. I think that's when he created the account.
I tell you this, man. A friend of the show, you know him well too, Jamil Hemphill, formerly known as Orlando Mathias in ring. My boy had an idea to have the vacant gimmick, Joey Vacant.
Yeah.
And have him running around to all the indie circuits. Anytime somebody has to vacate a belt, he shows up. Or anytime somebody vacates a belt on one of the main rosters, he shows up with a replica belt. Like, yeah, it's mine. Yeah, what? Took this off John Cena. All I had to do was break his arm. I was just like, yeah. Yeah, that would be one of the most hilarious fucking gimmicks ever. That would get one of my votes easy for gimmick of the year.
And they would have to you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Nah.
All right, well, they got this suit that is basically Green Man. It's like spandex, a full body spandex with even a face hood thing on it.
Yeah.
So it's just like solid green. You can't tell who it is underneath it or anything like that.
Yeah.
They need to get like a dark gray one, almost metallic silver.
Yeah.
And with a question mark on his chest. And do that. Somebody needs to go
Joey
out there
Vacant.
And do that. And,
Joey
and, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I tell you, man.
That gimmick would get over for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I say it like this. I think it would get over in general, but I think it would get over more with those that actually understood it. I think some people, it would take a minute for them to understand. You know, like, Vacant? What the fuck's that supposed to mean? Like, but real wrestling fans will understand, like, Vacant is one of the most... And then this is where I agree with Jamil as well. Is that he was talking about, but and give him like the actual credentials of like how many championships have been vacated, like due to injury, be like 23 time world heavyweight champion, like 18 time tag team champion, just put them all out there.
Yeah, that would be totally awesome, man. I mean, you'd have to do a little bit of research on every vacancy that ever happened, but I mean, other than that, other than a day of being on the computer and printing out some stuff, so you got, you know, all your lists.
Yep.
I mean, it wouldn't be too much work. You know what I mean? Like in general, like when you think about a work gimmick, that's a perfect gimmick that's already there.
Yeah.
And basically handing it to you.
He could just use other people's finishing moves. He could do Stone Cold's. Anybody that's ever vacated a title, he has their finishing move.
Yeah. That means all he does is high spot, big ass finishing moves all the time.
All right, but yeah,
but
okay.
See, I don't think Vacant should ever have to wrestle.
Okay, fair enough. He just shows up with the title talk and doesn't even talk, huh? Just stands there.
Right. Well, no, he can talk. He doesn't have to wrestle anybody because he automatically gets the belt when somebody gets hurt. You know what I'm saying? So he can just talk smack about the injury or whatever that happened. And he can even have a sidekick, a tag team partner named Karma.
That would be savage.
And be like, you know, I can't take all the credit for being as great as Vacant is. You know, doing a third person like The Rock and all that. But I can thank my boy Karma, and then Karma's in a suit just like that, you know, and just like he is, but not the same color. He could even, you know, variation. Karma could be black because it's always bad Karma.
Oh, yeah.
So Karma black with a K on his chest. And Karma don't have to talk. Karma's a strong, silent type. He'll fuck you up anytime, anywhere, any place. He don't care.
Get me a 6'9", like 280-pound dude to put in that suit.
Yeah. Well, if they make a suit that big, I don't think they got enough spandex for that. His homeboy can be Karma, and Karma's the one that does the damage, but Vacant's the one that always reaps the benefit.
Yeah,
he always reaps the benefits and reaps the rewards of Karma. So without Karma, Vacant is nothing.
I can see it now. In the middle of a pedestrian match against a jobber, Karma comes out, grabs the champ, puts him through a table. Champ now has an injury. Vacant walks out, picks up the title, cuts a promo, and walks out.
And guess what? With my height and your height, I can play Vacant and you can play Karma.
Oh, that would be awesome. Awesome.
You my bodyguard Karma. We can do this. I know promoters. I can talk to promoters. We can do it for free the first few times. But then when we start seeing signs and cheers and people want shirts and all that, we'll start getting paid for this shit.
Dude, and never have to wrestle. Never. Well, I would.
Never have to wrestle.
I'd have to.
Not at all.
I'd never have to wrestle a match. I just have to come out and have the champ sell to me and then just beat up the champ. That's all I really got to do.
If a champ gets an injury, at the promotion we are working at, and he has to vacate it or whatever, all you have to do is be like, "What'd you hurt? Oh, you hurt your arm? Well, slide it in a chair and stomp on the chair." And then Karma or Vacant comes out and grabs the belt and basically talks a little smack, and the crowd goes crazy. They have to roll out the champ and all that, and you know, me and Vacant standing there or me and Karma standing there with the belt, and I'm holding the belt up, and you know, all you got to do is stand there with your arms crossed at that point, just muscle man. But yeah, man, it could work.
You know
it could fucking
work. Then 6 months from now, when the tag team titles are available, all we do is we rip off the mask and we go, 1980s promo time.
He's Black Lightning. I'm White Thunder. Together, we had a perfect storm.
Yeah, there we go.
Watch out. Watch out, Mean Gene. It's getting cloudy.
Oh, man. So we have too much fun here in the Raw Impact Unleashed, you guys. I just want you to understand.
Ain't
we can laugh whether you laugh or not.
Hey, well, speaking of the fucking title tournaments and Vacant and all that, Seth Rollins, of course, you know, everybody knows by now that he blew his damn knee out. He had surgery this past Tuesday on it. So healing time starts now. From 6 to 9 months from now, we may see him again. But one thing I love about this WWE-style tournament, which is kind of like a regular-style tournament, you know, compared to a TNA off-the-wall point thing, the belt that they keep presenting still has Seth Rollins' emblems on the side plate. And I love that. I love that they kept that because it reminds you of who the champ was. You know,
right.
It's always like, let's say, you know, a few weeks later, you know, people, you know, say a kid was like, "Hey, can we get this pay-per-view? I ain't never seen wrestling before. I like wrestling, blah, blah, blah." And then they're like, "What is the Seth Rollins thing there? Or what is the SR on the belt?" Well, that gets one more person to look up who SR is, which they will find out who Seth Rollins is. And they can follow the story, even though they haven't been around this tournament, you know.
That's the part of
that. But it's also kind of funny because I thought every champ that became champ got to keep their belt. after losing the belt or having to vacate the belt, they still got their belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For their trophy case or whatever.
Like,
I mean,
the
you
Rock's
look at
show.
The Rock's, the Rock's trophy. Yeah, exactly. Perfect, you know, person to talk about. The Rock's trophy case got every damn belt he ever won, you know, in the damn case.
Yep.
So yeah, it kind of threw me off a little bit that they haven't put the WWE side plates on it. But I like it in the fact that if anybody didn't know what was going on and they're just new to watching or whatever, they can look that up and be like, oh, okay, that's the champ, and that's why they're having the tournament. So it's got its goods and the negatives. I think the negatives is Seth Rollins won his belt back.
All I know is Mr. Rollins is going to be out of the picture just long enough for people to go, hey, we want Seth Rollins back. And then he will come back to one of the largest pops that we've heard right before they start booing his ass.
Yeah. So you all caught up on Raw and SmackDown?
For the most part. I watched the bulk of Raw this week. You know, you had some daddy things going on. Same thing with SmackDown. Watch some of SmackDown. But had some things I had to go do. But I'm liking where they're going. I'll be honest with you. I watched the beginning of SmackDown today, and I'm really liking where they're going with this whole Bray Wyatt, Kane Undertaker thing. The ending to Raw was pretty sick. I'll say it like this. The only negative thing I could say about that feud is it's predictable.
Yeah,
when they announced the Bray Wyatt eulogy, I was like, well, Taker and Kane are going to come back tonight. They're going to beat everybody's ass setting up the match of Survivor Series. But that also could just be the fact I didn't watch wrestling too goddamn long. And I know, you know, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's to be expected. You ain't seen them in a couple of weeks, and all the trash talk that Bray Wyatt has been bringing out, which are great promos. You can't. You know, knock his promos at all. I mean, even going back before the Taker and Kane situation, I mean, he's dynamite on the mic.
But
I mean, you didn't see him for a couple of weeks, and Bray Wyatt took the powers and all that, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's got to be some type of retaliation on that. You can't just let him keep talking smack for a whole month. You know, and not show up and do something.
Not show up and do something.
Well, since we're on The Undertaker, he showed up on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I saw the article for it. I didn't actually see the skit, though.
All right, well, Jimmy Fallon has a segment where he takes fan questions or fan requests. To you know, have something on the show, you know, or do something on the show. Pulls one out and he goes, "Dear Jimmy, I would love for you to have The Undertaker come on your show and pile drive a turkey." And Jimmy Fallon's like, "Well, I don't even know how to get a hold of The Undertaker, and it's kind of like late notice to have him on the show to do this. You know, it was one of those wild things instead of, hey, Jimmy, will you jump up and act like a chicken for a minute? You know, that's usually how those questions go, you know. So it's on the spot type thing. And he's about halfway of saying, I don't know how to get a hold of it. And then you hear dong, you know, the iconic Undertaker dong. And then it pans over to the curtain where everybody comes out, you know, for the interviews. And there's fog coming out from under the curtain. The curtain opens up, lightning strikes everywhere, you know, and it's the Undertaker standing there. And over in the corner is this dude in a turkey suit. and he starts walking around.
I heard it was Brad Maddox.
I don't know who it was. I couldn't tell. When they flashed over there, like, he had the beak on and all that, so I couldn't really tell who it was. It could have been Brad Maddox. I don't know. He was small enough to be Brad Maddox. Anyway, he comes clucking around and he's like makes his round, like he faces the Undertaker and then he starts clucking around him, and the Undertaker's just looking at him like, you dumb fuck, I'm about to kill you. He clucks all the way around him, and then you kind of see him try to walk away a little bit and then kind of attack, And when he attacks, the Undertaker grabs his ass up and tombstones him right there on stage, and ends up pinning him. And then they do a ding, ding, ding after a three count, which was awesome. And he just walks away. He don't say nothing. He don't like. He don't really shake Jimmy's hand or nothing. He stands there. And Jimmy goes, "All right, Survivor Series, Undertaker's 25th anniversary November 22nd, only on the WWE Network." And then the Undertaker walks off, and then that was the end of that little thing. Which another appearance happened on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That if you watched it on TV tonight. You didn't see The Undertaker at all.
Okay.
You heard him talk to Bray Wyatt at the end, basically, over the PA sound system that they have. And he accepted the fight between the Wyatt family and him and Kane at Survivor Series. Now, the version I got sent to me from an undisclosed insider had a promo segment after the Neville Wade Barrett match, which Neville ended up proceeding in the tournament. Wade Barrett gets up and starts talking about, like, "This is not how I expected my homecoming to go over the past few days," blah, blah, blah. And started talking smack and all this. And then the Undertaker's music hits, and the Undertaker comes out. He ends up choke slamming Wade Barrett and ends up tombstoning Wade Barrett and then walks out. So it was
the old Undertaker. I love it.
Crowd. No, they did record it, and I got it sent to me.
Sweet.
Which was a pretty cool segment, because usually that don't happen to somebody in their own country.
Yeah.
You usually get over in your own country.
Maybe they're trying to get him over as a face. Maybe they're trying to turn him.
But
they beat somebody up in their own country.
Nah, you can't make him a face that way, because the Undertaker is the ultimate face right now.
Yeah, true.
So I mean, and Wade Barrett's King Barrett still. He's still, that asshole king and all that. Well, he was talking shit. not only like this ain't how I expect my homecoming, but basically I rule over y'all and blah blah blah. Kind of that running down the people, pretty much. And so Undertaker came out and handled business, which I think that was just for the live crowd anyway. Like I said, it didn't air tonight on. SmackDown.
On the actual show,
it was cut out. Which it had nothing to do with any type of storyline or anything like that anyway.
It was just Undertaker coming out to bury,
just one of those moments, But it was pretty awesome, man. And I'm looking forward to the Undertaker Kane feud with the Wyatt. I think, or at least that match. I think they're gonna tear the house down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll say it like this: I love what they're doing with the Undertaker right now, and I love the fact that he's back more often than just once a year. I understand he needed that time, to be able to heal up his body, because he did it for 17 years straight, where he was on the road and, at every Raw and every SmackDown and just about, for multiple years, almost for pretty much over a decade. And his body needed that rest of that only coming to give us WrestleMania matches, because he knows that come WrestleMania time, he's going to put on his best show. I'm glad to see him back on a regular basis right now. Not because, it reminds me of the Attitude Era, just because it's good to see Taker back on a regular basis. It's to hear that gong once every couple of weeks. You miss it. The Taker is an iconic character. Once he's gone for good, once he retires, the WWE is never going to be the same, period. You know, that's just what it is.
I mean, that's the same with when Stone Cold retired, when The Rock retired, semi-retired, I should say. And even Triple H semi-retired. You know, he's on that, you know, I only work WrestleMania now, you know, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, when you got those top guys like that, that, you know, been the face of the company, been the workhorses of the company, when they finally say it's time for me to go, even Shawn Michaels, you know, when Shawn Michaels hurt his back the first time and left, but then he came back, but then left again, you know, retired again, officially retired. It was like, oh, man, there's a piece of this that's gone now. Like, it will never get that back, you know. Same thing with Ric Flair, you know, retiring from TV, basically. It's like, wow, yeah, I've been seeing this guy for the last, you know, since I've been alive, basically, he's been in the ring. So for the last 32 years, this guy has been a staple of wrestling. And he's not anymore. You know, it's kind of like, wow, that's a void. So everybody's like, oh, he's old and he shouldn't be there anyway. But he put on some great matches all the way up into his last match. So,
yep.
I mean, you kind of get that feeling of, oh, man, it's like empty. I just opened up a pack of Oreos and my cream filling wasn't in them one. It's fucked up.
You know, man, the thing with it for me is that Taker, like I said, it's going to be completely different when you know you're not going to hear that gong anymore. Like you said, just like you named all those iconic figures. But us talking about this kind of brings to memory a meme that I saw today. I think I shared it. I believe you saw it as well. It was a picture that showed, I forgot who it was. Hulk Hogan, and it said it was like best of his era, and it said it showed Hulk Hogan. Then it showed Stone Cold Steve Austin said best of his era, or best of the Attitude Era. And then it showed John Cena and said best of the PG era. And then it showed Taker and it said cornerstone of all three. And I was like, if you think about it, yeah, you know, he was, of course, Taker is an amazing talent to watch. Not saying he's not as good as anybody, but he wasn't necessarily the best of every era, the three decades worth of eras, basically, that he's competed in. But he has been, like, the one constant throughout them all.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, and you can go back to the Brothers of Destruction, when he wasn't a singles wrestler, he was still a cornerstone. Mm-hmm. Like that tag team was a cornerstone. You wanted to see that tag team. Whether it was facing the Dudleys or the Hardys or Edge and Christian at that point, you wanted to see the Undertaker and Kane. I would say more so the Undertaker than Kane. But I don't want to take anything away from Kane because he's a great talent on his own also.
Yeah.
But with the Undertaker's legacy, Kane doesn't compare to the Undertaker's legacy. Unfortunately, I got to say that.
He carved out his own niche. He's definitely not on that level with the Undertaker, but he's up there.
Yeah. I mean, top 10 of all time wrestlers, Kane would make that list.
Yeah.
So I believe the Undertaker will be retiring at SummerSlam, or not SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Yeah, I believe that will be he will put his nail in the coffin. No pun intended. Actually, a lot of pun intended.
Well, I've heard a lot of talk about Cena versus Taker at WrestleMania.
And I've heard that too, but I also heard that Roman Reigns might get a chance at the Undertaker. But then again, there's also that talk of Sting, if he's fully recovered and healthy. That would be Sting's retirement match. and possibly the Undertaker's retirement match at WrestleMania.
I would love to see that.
Never say never when it comes to wrestling. And
yeah.
That's what everybody in the business will tell you. Never say never. Shit can happen. But I think it would be the exclamation point, the nail in the coffin, all that, if he goes out at Survivor Series, where he came in to WWE, and he ends up losing, him and Kane end up losing, and passing the torch on to the Wyatt family. I know people's like, oh, well, he should win because he's the man and all this. Well, if you're on that verge of retirement, my philosophy is if you're on the way out, get the guy that's going to still be there over because you're done.
Yeah.
It's not like, you're going to come back and do all that. So if it is official and he is done, which,
yeah.
You know, there's a 50-50 chance he may still come back for his WrestleMania moment.
Well, I was just gonna say I kind of see it from a different angle. I see where you're coming from, and I definitely think that would be appropriate, and especially this Survivor Series where they're basically paying homage to him and his 25 years of basically service with the WWE. I think the fact that he's only gone at WrestleMania over the past few years, like I want to say been like 5-6 years since he's really done any regular work outside of the road to WrestleMania and WrestleMania itself, over the past about 5, maybe 6 years. And I think his body healed up a lot over that time. I think he's maybe got another year or two in him before he's ready to call it a day. Like I think those of you having that time off, spending 3/4 of the year basically around your house doing yard work, whatever he does to keep himself busy, you know, and only working matches and taking bumps during that WrestleMania time and not even really taking that many bumps during that time. You could probably count in one hand over the past 3 WrestleMania feuds how many times he's actually gotten in the ring and taken bumps. You know, I don't know. Like I can see where you're coming from. That yes, this would be the most apropos and golden way to send the Undertaker off riding off into the sunset, especially riding off into the sunset healthy. You know, because the man does look healthier than he's looked in a very long time. So you know, that would be the perfect way to send him off. But I just don't know. Like I think it's really, to me, I got to see how he looks in this match against the Wyatt family. Because if he's moving around the ring like old Taker, then I don't know, he might still have some gusto in him. He might stay with us through WrestleMania season.
I can totally agree with that. I was just like putting the perfect scenario out there.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting. This was Undertaker's last match for sure, no doubt about it.
No.
But I think that it would be a perfect way to bookend a great career.
Yeah, I can't. I you got no disagreement from me there. Like that's big time. Like that would be the perfect. Like, and especially like I said, this Survivor Series where they're honoring him. You know, they're specifically focusing this entire thing. Like the main event should be. I hate to say it like this. Should be the one-on-one match for the World Heavyweight Championship tournament. But it most likely is going to be the Wyatt family versus Taker and Kane is going to be your main event, and the World Heavyweight Championship match is going to take place right before it.
Yeah, more than likely. I agree with you on that. If not, they will be co-main events. It will be the Undertaker, you know, and then the World Heavyweight Championship. Those will be the last two matches for sure on this card. I have a feeling that you're right about the Undertaker, you know, being the last guy out there, you know, getting a crowd ovation, you know, getting it pretty much getting a send off, even if it's not his final send off. You know what I mean? And
right.
He's going to get that 25-year accolade, which is going to be awesome.
You still got
now, it. Now, speaking of the tournament that they're having, we are officially in the quarterfinals now after tonight's SmackDown matches. And I've watched both Raw and SmackDown twice. And I have to say that the guys on SmackDown put on better matches than
really?
Most of the matches that went on Raw. The one Raw match that stands out more than anything is the Cesaro-Sheamus match.
Okay.
That match.
That one
was,
threw me for a loop because I actually expected Sheamus to win that match.
I also did too. I really did. And it was a surprise to me that he actually picked up the win. But the physicality through that whole match was unbelievable. And I think Cesaro even hurt his arm, like a legitimate hurt. Not injured. I don't think he has an injury like a torn muscle or you know, a popped tendon or anything like that. But I think he ended up getting what they call in football a stinger, where you know you basically hit a nerve wrong in your arm and it's kind of hard to get the feeling back. So
yeah.
I think he ended up getting a stinger out of that. But besides that happened, the legitimate hurt. The match was unbelievable. And moving to SmackDown and then watching, you know, I watched that whole show twice, critiquing everything. And on Raw, Keith Lynch and Paige tore the house down.
Yeah.
That was one of the best matches of the night. And that match, like, resonated with me other than Cesaro Sheamus match. Now, out of the 5-6 matches, maybe 7 matches that they had on Raw, I can go to SmackDown and, oh my God, damn near every match on SmackDown that had something to do with a tournament. Besides the Del Rio Stardust match, I think that was a good match. It could have been great, but it was good. It was only good in comparison to Neville and Wade Barrett. Those guys rocked the house.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on my feet, and I got a hurt back. I was on my feet for some of the stuff that was going on in this match. And then the most crazy upsetting match, or the upset match of the night, was Ryback getting beat by Kalisto. And that match was unbelievable. I mean,
really?
I always love a big guy with a little guy because you can do so many things with the power of the big guy, and especially having Kalisto, the luchador that can do moves that nobody else can do, and for some reason he's like a cat. He always lands on his feet. And they had combinations back and forth that Stowe was just like countering everything, landing on his feet, coming back. It was just an insane fast-paced match. And I expected Ryback to win and move on. But obviously Kalisto earned his spot. And especially with that match. By far, SmackDown this week surpassed Raw.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch both of those this weekend.
Well, I think it's because they seen what, you know, pretty good matches were on Raw. And then the SmackDown guys go, all right, we're about to upshow these guys and show them how it's really done. And,
for sure.
And that's how I felt through it. It was definitely a great week of wrestling, for sure.
For sure. I'm going to wind this down. Let's take this first commercial break and only commercial break. I'm going to run two commercials. And then, hey, Cole, you can let us know what's yep. going on tomorrow night with that World's Blur right after the commercial break. All right,
yep. bro? Yeah, yeah, will do.
All right, y'all listening to the Raw Impact Unleashed?
On Blog Talk Radio, 4H's present. Don't forget iTunes.
What's good with the planet Earth, and you are listening to NVT West, where the West Coast music lives. This is The Saint, and I want to go ahead and tell you about the original Now versus Then, where Generation X meets Generation X, hosted by two wonderful hosts every other Monday. On one Monday, you got Robin Baxter, poetically known as me, hosting. And then on the other Monday, you have the one and only Mother Metaphor. That's every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And y'all, just to let you know, once again, it's still from Generation X to Generation Next.
Good evening, folks. If you're listening to me, then that means you're already listening to West Coast Bias. But outside of West Coast Bias, the 4H's Network has a plethora of shows. One of those shows, one of my favorites, is Now versus Then West, hosted by The Saint. That's every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 4H's Network, blogtalkradio.com. Yo,
it's your boy Cole from the World's Blur. Happening tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. I will be getting fucked up. So I don't know what the fuck I'm going to talk about. Y'all tune in and just laugh your ass off of the dumb shit I'm going to be saying.
Makes for good entertainment, folks. Cole speaking his mind. Something I learned firsthand.
I'm gonna be fucked up.
You heard
him. I'm gonna be on drugs.
All right, Planet Earth. No. Let's see.
See, he needs to change that to be like, "What's up, universe?" Did you notice some aliens that be listening in to 4H's Presents, man? We the
we
only
real,
network
baby.
That aliens actually approve of. Granted, they might be from Mexico, but they still aliens.
Four aces. No, that was a Chinese accent. I don't even know what the fuck I was doing right there. Anyway,
Quattro aces, way.
Quattro aces, man.
Quattro aces, presente, man.
Another great week. Oh man.
So, let's get back to this. Quarterfinals, man. Quarterfinals.
All right. So now we got Roman down. And Cesaro.
Yeah, we got Roman and Cesaro, which is going to be a decent match. I don't know how Roman's style is going to clash with Cesaro. Because, you know,
yeah.
Cesaro is a big, high, fast-paced kind of guy. And Roman Reigns has got a kind of a medium to fast type pace. You know, he's kind of like one of the a brawler more than a runner. I kind of put it in that way.
Gotcha.
So I'm hoping these styles clash together and they mingle together really well. We also have Owens and Neville, which you know is going to be off the chain. It's going to be off the hook, fucking off the map, off the grid. It's going to be that the shit match. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that one. Ziggler and Ambrose was a surprise to me. Because when I seen
Ziggler
bracket,
over Miz didn't surprise me.
Well, when I seen the original bracket, I seen Ambrose versus Prince Pretty.
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze, yeah. And then right above that, I seen The Miz versus Ziggler. And my heart broke because I figured that they were going to screw Dean Ambrose and have Tyler Breeze move on. Like we spoke last week, if Tyler Breeze and Ziggler was in the mix, they would end up fighting each other in the tournament.
Yeah.
So that was a prediction I was wrong on. Thank God I was wrong on that. And Ambrose ended up winning that match. Ziggler ended up winning, which was cool. But I was so pissed when I seen Ambrose and Breeze on the same, you know, for that match. Because I was like, oh, they're going to screw Ambrose. Breeze is going to get in there. And then they're going to have the feud with Ziggler and Breeze continue. I figured they would push Breeze since he's already got the push over on Ziggler so many times. But yeah. then when I seen Ambrose win, I was just like, yes. I jumped up in the air. I was like, this man, finally, they didn't fucking screw up. This is definitely going to be a crazy match because it's basically face versus face. On the Ziggler Ambrose match,
but you know what though, I'm actually seeing something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And this is what's funny: with no Lesnar in the tournament, I see an Ambrose Reigns final, and one of them is turning heel before this tournament's over.
I definitely can see that. I can definitely go with you on that with slight hesitation
for sure.
Because I mean, you have Roman Reigns and Cesaro facing each other, and those are two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's two face versus face matches, and then there's two face versus heel matches left.
With
Del Rio,
Owens and them.
Del Rio and Kalisto.
Yeah.
Which I'm expecting Del Rio to move
match.
Yeah, I'm expecting Del Rio to move on. I'm expecting Ambrose to move on. I'm expecting Owens to move on. And I'm expecting Roman Reigns to move on.
For sure.
So out of that, yeah, I think the final should be Ambrose and Roman Reigns. That would be awesome. I believe Roman Reigns is going to get passed up if it's Ambrose and Roman Reigns. And I believe Ambrose should be the champion.
We'll get that title run.
You know, I truly believe Ambrose should be the face of the company, should hold that honor. He's got everything. He's got the mic skills.
Yeah.
He's got the in-ring skills. He's, you know, got the fan base. I mean, everything that you need to be the top guy, he has.
About the crowd reaction that he got the last time that they thought he won the title, you know, during that whole feud with Seth Rollins. Like, look at the crowd reaction when they thought he won the title. Imagine how the crowd would react if he actually did win the title.
Exactly, man, exactly. So I'm right there with you. But, you know, with the Roman thing, I don't know if he can do the heel change. Because I know Ambrose will do the Stone Cold thing. Like, I don't give a fuck about the authority. You know, I'm in it for me and blah, 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 you know. Reigns, I can't really see him go heel, but I can see him have that tension with Dean Ambrose a little bit of, hey, this was supposed to be my shot all along, and then, you know, you come in and you take it from me, basically, getting screwed again. So it would be a little animosity between them two. But I don't see a full heel change. That's why I agreed with you with slight hesitation.
Okay, I can understand that. See, the way I saw it with you.
But we also did talk about last week how Roman Reigns, you know, could pull off a great heel being in solitude.
Like, not necessarily being a heel as a part of a group, or yeah.
Right. Stop coming down through the crowd, not taking anybody like Dean or anybody that he's cool with, the Usos, you know, not talking to them backstage or anything. Keeping himself in his locker room, you know, and being offstandish, you know, just by
everybody.
Not quite jealousy, but outraged that he keeps getting screwed, you know, in that sense.
Yeah.
So I can't say it'd be like a full heel turn, but it'll definitely be an outcast turn, you know, like.
See, I saw one possible scenario for a heel turn for him, and this is about the only way I think that you have an instant crowd reaction to Roman Reigns' heel turn. And I kind of saw him going more along the lines of an old Stone Cold storyline of Roman Reigns, like, okay, you don't necessarily have the full heel turn happen at Survivor Series. You have him go to that level where you're talking about, where he loses to Ambrose, Ambrose wins the championship, but he goes into this like solitude type motion. He wins a number one contender's, you know, battle royal or whatever. He faces Ambrose at the following pay-per-view, which would be TLC. Except now he does whatever it takes, i.e. working with the Authority, because you already have the setup with Triple H having offered and him having turned down. It's not that far of a stretch for him to lose to Ambrose, maybe in a suspicious way, and go crawling back to the Authority like, well, it looks like I'm going to need your guys' help, so can you help me out? And that kind of heel turn, where it's not necessarily he's a bad guy now, but he's a guy that's so desperate he would align himself with bad people in order to be able to win that championship. He wants that gold so bad. You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily a full heel turn where he's now a bad guy, but it's just enough to where the crowd goes from from slightly loving him to completely hating him again.
Right, right. And I think he could pull that off. Very much so. So yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I just think Ambrose should win the tournament. I really do.
He deserves it for sure.
And I hope that the Authority sees it that way. And then like you said, they got so much more storyline that they could pull out of that. And keep it going, because I think if Roman Reigns wins, he'll end up Ambrose won't get upset with him. That's his boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't see Ambrose as that, you know, like, oh, I had my shot, but I got screwed by my best friend type thing. But I can see that happening with Roman Reigns.
I can see Roman Reigns
going, oh, I got screwed by my boy. I can't trust anybody now, so I ain't even talking to my cousins. I ain't talking to nobody. You know, and he kind of like goes off into that solitude, you know, not jealous, but enraged that shit keeps happening to him. And that's a perfect segue to being a full heel turn too. Yeah, like you said, I mean, it all works out perfectly.
You brought up the Usos, and that was something that I was looking at. It's looking like, based off the match booking at least, like the Usos are most likely about to get a shot at the tag team championships against the New Day, and I kind of like that. I think both teams are definitely full of energy and are going to make for a very entertaining feud. It's nice just seeing the Usos back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, they're a crowd favorite. They always get the crowd hyped when they come out, in ring and out of the ring, with their crazy little promos that they bounce back and forth off of each other. It's great. So yeah, they definitely deserve that top spot. And they've been moving up the ranks ever since they came back. I mean, they've been taking care of business. Well, tonight on SmackDown, they won by disqualification because they were beating the shit out of the Wyatt family, and Bray Wyatt decided everybody's going to jump in on it. You know, it was 2-on-2, not 4-on-2. So you know, they got squashed a little bit at the end of that. But, I mean, yeah, it's pushing the right direction towards the titles. And that would be an awesome feud between the New Day and the Usos. And I can see the Usos getting screwed for a little bit by the New Day, you know, because it is basically 3-on-2 anytime you face the New Day. And I can see I can definitely see some help coming out to help them out. Not sure who they would pick to do that to basically even the score, but eventually they would have to do that to actually get over and possibly win the titles.
They have to have a third person come in. You couldn't use Roman because he's involved in the heavyweight. Well, who could you use?
You got to look past the Survivor Series for this type of feud to happen. You know, you got to build up a little bit, get the Usos back into that prime spot. So maybe by then, you know, it would be Roman Reigns to come out and, you know, basically enforce whoever it is on the outside to not interfere, which would be cool because it's all family, you know. We already know, even in storyline, they're cousins. Even, you know, they took real life and made it storyline, which, you know, Triple H keeps saying this is the reality era. So they got more reality going on in the storylines than not. So yeah, man, they could bring out anybody, and you know, a couple of months down the line, who better they can fit that role but family.
Yeah, very true.
But yeah, man, very interesting things are going on. I'm liking how they rewrote the scenarios that's going in since Rollins hurt his knee.
Very good adjustment.
Everything's looking good compared to what it could have been in the position they were at. Like, instead of everybody dropping their heads on what they were doing, they went to work. And they put together a decent tournament. Time will only tell in the next week or so that you know, who will be at Survivor Series facing each other, and hopefully they'll book that right. But yeah, for the most part, man, I'm really enjoying watching WWE again. For a while, it was kind of iffy. It's like, I'll watch it, but I'm doing so many other multitasking things, I'm not really watching the wrestling.
But recently, it's very intriguing.
Yeah, and that's mostly why I watch wrestling. Not for just the entertainment aspect, but for actually the in-ring wrestling. I like to see different styles go in there and pull out great matches. So, I mean, the past few months, it's not been so much of that type of passion for me. It's been, okay, I'm going to put this on, but I'm also on my phone. I'm also, you know, doing other things, whether it be straightening up the house or, you know, anything like that, cooking.
Watching Monday Night Football.
And flashing back from football and all that. In the past couple of weeks, I haven't even been flipping back and forth to football. Matter of fact, there's a game tonight, right? I ain't even flipped over to the game tonight.
Oh, the game's over now.
Yeah, I know it's over now, but I'm just saying I ain't even flip over to the game.
Just interested with football, huh?
But yeah, it done took my interest from football away, really. Unless my team's playing, of course I'm going to be you know, right there watching my team, whether it's Monday or Thursday night game that they have. But yeah, man, I can also blame that on getting kicked out of my fantasy league.
No reason to watch the games, huh?
because I was just too good, man, and I was destined for the playoffs and then the championship. So I got kicked out. and my team's still doing great, even though I'm not running it.
that's called good. That's called great GMing right there, right there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. And we auto draft, so it's even better. but after the auto draft, I definitely dropped some fools and picked up some fools, and all my moves worked out for me perfectly. Raw and SmackDowns then took my interest back from football, man. And I love football. I love watching football. Even though if it ain't my team, I love it. I just love the game. Wrestling the past few weeks have took over, and it's like, oh, who played tonight? It was like Buffalo and the Jet. I ain't even concerned about that. Even though they got more drama during that game, then it almost makes it a wrestling storyline.
Yeah.
Especially how Rex Ryan's coming back to his old team. And then he also has the dude that broke Geno Smith's jaw.
Finale.
As a team captain to come out at the coin toss.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like that intimidation factor that I'm fucking with you. And Rex Ryan does that with everybody, every team. Like, if he has a player from another team that they're playing that he ended up getting from another team, like say you got somebody from the Cowboys and they're playing the Cowboys. He's going to have that former Cowboys player, a team captain, to walk out there and coin toss. It's kind of it's almost an intimidation thing, but it's also I'm fucking with you type thing too. So, I mean, that's straight out of a pro wrestling playbook right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't even enough to get my interest to watch football tonight compared to watching wrestling. But great shows past few weeks. TNA, I've done caught up on the tournament now. Watched TNA today from last night. Because I ended up watching NXT last night, which was a great show, always is. There was a tag team title change, which I didn't expect, because you usually expect those on, you know, like the arrivals or the takeovers or something like that.
Whatchamacallit, them two boys won it on NXT, huh? They took it from the Vaudevillains, huh?
Yeah. Was it Blake and Murphy?
Yeah.
Kim Murphy ended up winning. I think it was Blake and Murphy.
Let's see.
I'll have to go back and check that. But the Vaudevillains got beat. It was supposed to be Enzo Amore and Big Cass, but the week before. The week before, Big Cass got jumped by them and had his MCL jacked up, or a torn MCL out of the jumping. I don't know if that was kayfabe or legit. But that took them out of the number one contender spot, and I think it was Blake and Murphy that took over and ended up getting their match this week and ended up winning. Which sucks because I think if the injury is kayfabe and it's not real, then I believe that Enzo and Cass got screwed again, and they deserve a title run, a tag team title run. They're the most popular tag team. They're the most popular tag team that NXT had. If it's legit, I feel sorry for these guys because every time they get in the position of number one contenders, either Enzo Amore gets hurt legit or Kaz gets hurt legit, and they end up getting round of getting tag team titles. And it's a tragedy that this keeps happening.
Oh man, that is with those two. When you see heartbreaking things like that happen over and over again to the same tag team, it just begins to wear on you, because those guys are pretty awesome. They are by far, I want to say, the most over tag team in NXT. Like, they really are. And so he's right. He's dead right when he says that they deserve a tag team title run. I thought that they were going to win it before even the Vaudevillains, but, well, that didn't work out. But man, like, that I found out about right now through you. But I did get to see, I forgot who told me about it. It was a friend of mine, Carlos, at work, a wrestling fan, that Joe. I went back and watched the NXT episode where Joe makes his heel turn.
And
I'm sorry, there aren't many wrestlers that do good heel turns like Joe does.
Yeah. And even this past week, Joe comes out and goes, all I'm hearing from everybody, whether it's backstage or on the streets, that, why, Joe? Why did you do it, Joe? Why? He goes, because my name is Samoa Joe, and I deserve to have the championship, the world, or the NXT heavyweight championship, and I deserve to have the championship in any company that I'm in. Like he just flat out destroyed all the fans that asked him why, and they were even chanting, "Why Joe? Why?" Why Joe? Why? Like that, you know, because everybody loved him as the face coming in and all that. I love him as a heel. I love Joe as the ruthless beast that he is. And he ended up choking out Finn Balor again that night, which basically puts him in the running of, you know, jumping to the top of the totem pole and getting a chance very, very soon, I believe.
Yeah, he should be. If not, if they don't give him an NXT title shot, then they need to be thinking about bringing him up to the main roster, because Joe deserves either to have a title on his waist or be working the main scene, because Joe is just a beast like that.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. And I think he deserves to get the NXT title, and not definitely have a long run with it, but have a good enough run or a good enough couple of matches with Finn Balor, where, you know, he solidifies himself at NXT, which is very easy to do anyway without a title for him. But to give him that title and take it away and then move him up to the main roster, kind of in a Kevin Owens-esque type move, you know. It's just like, I got the belt, you know, I'm starting to show up on Raw regardless, you know. It was real quick, a real quick transition. I think that scenario with Joe being a real quick transition from NXT champion to moving on to bigger and better things.
Oh man, that's sorry, having a little bit of chest pain there. That's very well said, bro. Like, Joe is one of those classic talents. Now, next, WWE, your next challenge, if you choose to accept it, sign AJ Styles, damn it. Get him at minimum in NXT. That is your next challenge. You have accepted all the rest of our challenges. Accept this one and complete it.
Well,
that would be legend.
You know,
wait for it.
Styles quoted, but if the money's right, that's where he'll work.
Yeah.
So right now he's making a great living on the independent, and usually WWE signs people to what they were making before they got to WWE. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Make sure there's no drop off in pay.
Yeah, say you were working at McDonald's, you know, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night you were wrestling, making $50. You know, so that's $150 for the weekend, plus your $400 to $500 check at the end of the week or whatever. So you know, the basically $600 to $700 is what you're gonna be making a week. You know, at the thing. Well, AJ Styles makes thousands on an appearance, and if he works, you know, 3-4 times a week, that's a few thousand dollars right there that WWE has to cough up for this talent. So it's a money dispute, basically. Not that they're in any negotiations or they've contacted one another and said this or that, but they know where AJ stands, and he knows where WWE stands. So if WWE was to offer him the same amount of money that he was making on the indies, I guarantee you he would sign with WWE. So right now, it's all on WWE's shoulders to match the money he's making on independent. And as far as I know, there's not been any inside talk or inside negotiations between the two parties. But that is the final, you know, say is, hey, WWE, pay me what I'm making now. Just because AJ Lee believes if he's making, wherever he's making the most money, that's going to be the better his family is off, plain and simple.
Yep.
So it's all about providing for his family, making sure, you know, his life is secure. That's the big factor. It's not that they don't want his talent, you know. It's not like they don't recognize his talent. It's just that type of money situation for a new guy coming in, you know. He'll be making more than most of the roster in NXT. So he would have to have a brief stint in NXT and then move up to the main roster very quickly.
What, to justify the pay?
Yeah, that, and to justify that he's been working, a few years more than most people in NXT. I mean, you've got your certain guys that have been there, you know, 15, you know, years in the business, or whatever, just, you know, as much or, you know, as long as he has, which I think he's got about 20 years now in the business. Close to 20. I'd say in between 15 and 20 years that he's been wrestling.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of that. You got seniority. Even Kevin Owens, you know, been in the business for 15 years. He made a point to tell John Cena, "I'm not a rookie. Just because I'm new at this company, don't mean that I'm new to this business. I've been around longer than you have, John. Yeah, you might have made it here before me and done a lot of other stuff here that I haven't been able to do, but I've been working longer than you've been working. You know, like kind of." You know, like that. And I think that's one of the reasons Kevin Owens got pushed so fast. That, you know,
he already has that experience.
Yeah, that he's already been in the business for, you know, 15 years. So, shit, I mean, when you look at that, it's like, wow, dude, yeah, you should have been here 10 years ago doing your thing, you know. So you got to make up for lost time in those types of situations. Same with Samoa Joe, been wrestling forever and a day. So that's why I say a shorter stint in NXT, getting to the king of the mountain, basically, of NXT, and then moving on to the main roster fairly quickly. Finn Balor is the same way, but he says he would rather stay in NXT for a little bit longer, than to move straight to the main roster, you know, kind of that fast pace that move you straight on through. So it's all on the opinions on the wrestlers, where they see themselves now and where they see themselves in the future. There's a lot of factors that go into it. It's not just like, you know, Vince McMahon shows up and goes, "Hey, you're going on the main roster," or "You're going on the main roster," or, "You're going on the main roster. Get ready, pack your bags. We're hitting the road." You know, it's like, it's more loose. It's more loose. It's like, all right,
more fluid.
Where do you stand? where do you stand now? What's your situation? How's the family? Blah, blah, blah. Let's look at all these different aspects of your life and get your opinion on this before we decide for you.
Yeah.
Which, even being in NXT and selling merchandise and all that, and you got WWENXTShop.com, so you got all the NXT apparels on WWEShop.com and all that. So, I mean, it's not like they're not making money for the company anyway, being in
right.
NXT. So yeah, man, it's a weird dynamic between the two. And it's definitely a different feel from the different shows you watch. NXT has a totally different atmosphere than mm-hmm. Monday Night Raw or SmackDown does.
I can definitely agree with that. And that's what makes NXT such a – it's funny because I hate to say it, but WWE decides to create effectively its own indie company, and it does indie better than some of the better indie programs out there. Like, I hate to say it, like, NXT immediately shoots to the top of my list, along with ROH. There's no programs at that level. You know, of course, yes, there's the main difference between in the NXT and any other indie program is NXT has the multi-million dollar, billion dollar might of the WWE behind it. You know, whereas not every indie promotion has a multi-billionaire behind it, you know, funding it. But at the same time, they managed to create that indie feel with that multi-million dollar budget.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, some aspects of it, you're like, yeah, they put some money behind this stuff, like the running
yeah.
boards on the ring and different types of things like that. But it is, yeah, it's kind of a tweener. Not quite indie, but not quite the show. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's right there. It's like your next step up. You go to the indies, you go to NXT, and then you go to
main
WWE.
Roster. Yeah.
It's a little bit, I hate to say it, but it's a little bit step up from ROH to or TNA.
Yeah.
It's indies. TNA, ROH, NXT,
then
WWE main roster.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. I would put there are certain promotions that I would just put at that level close. Like, I would put New Japan Pro Wrestling at kind of an NXT type level just because of the fact of its popularity within its own country. You know, not necessarily, but then again, New Japan has a decent following out here. I noticed that they're actually shown on DirecTV. They have an hour-long show that happens, I believe it's every, like, Thursday or something.
Yeah, yeah, I was staying domesticated with my analogy.
No, I understand. Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, just in general, like, I put NXT, it's weird because I want to actually put New Japan, because of its popularity, in its own country, I want to put New Japan really on the level of WWE, but they're not as popular worldwide as a WWE.
Right, right.
You
right.
know, I doubt we're going to see New Japan Pro Wrestling on USA or NBC or you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't see them getting major television, cable television out
yeah.
here. But we definitely can be wrong. So I never put it past any company being able to go head to head with any other company, especially in wrestling. Especially when more and more Americans get used to that promotion or that style and follow it a lot. I mean, we got a lot of Americans over there right now. You know, you got the Bullet
mm-hmm.
Club that's over there, AJ Styles, you know, being part of that. And so it's bringing a lot more attention to it, to the Americas. So it wouldn't surprise me that eventually there's a major cross promotion that actually get them a good cable spot.
Yeah.
but with so much different entertainment other than wrestling. I mean, wrestling competes with The Flash, you know, Gotham, you know, all these great shows that are out there. That it's all competition. All entertainment is competition. So, I mean, a different flavor of wrestling being shown, I can definitely see it happening in the future.
For sure. Well, all right, guys. I think that's pretty much going to wrap us up for this week. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to be pre-Survivor Series. And then the week after that, don't forget, we're going on Monday night, the 23rd, right after Monday Night Raw, right after Survivor Series. And we'll probably be doing a double episode that week with the following episode being on Thanksgiving night. So this is a big month, Raw Impact, possibly our last couple of months on BTR, but we'll keep you guys informed of that and if we're going to be and where we're going to be making our move to. But in the meantime, check us out, www.4acespresentsradio.com. Check us out on the web. Cole, hit them with them Twitters.
Yeah, man, you can follow me. Personally, I will follow you back if the limit has not got onto the page yet, because I've been unfollowing people that don't follow me. It's like, why should I follow you? You ain't following me, motherfucker. Fuck y'all.
Pretty much.
So you can give me at Jordan Cole Jones. You'll know it's me because it'll have the tagline, your boy Cole, trademarked, of course, on there. You can follow the show's fan page on Twitter, at Radio's Wrestling. You'll see the tagline, the Raw Impact Unleashed, on that one. Also hit up Facebook, the Raw Impact Unleashed Facebook, where we post the show, the new shows, the new blogs, interesting wrestling news, all that. And that all gets, basically it's connected to my Twitter, which on my Twitter, I'll go to the Raw Impact Unleashed Twitter and redo that too. So if you don't do the Facebook thing, you'll still get all the information that we put out
all
there
the
on Twitter. Yeah. I'm not sure what Kevin's Twitter is because it's one of them long, crazy ones.
It's at WCB Podcast KK1.
Some crazy shit to remember, man. That's like letters and numbers and
don't worry. Eventually, I'm probably going to change it to K double double K.
It ain't even got your name in there. like what the fuck we know that's you? You know what I'm saying?
You gotta trust me, motherfucker. Trust me, all right?
Hey, it's 2015. It's hard to trust anything these days.
That's
especially
true,
on
friend,
the internet. How we gonna trust some shit on the internet? But again, that's what YBC or YCB.
Well, WCB. WCB Podcast KK1. It's a Twitter account that's so old because that it's the West Coast Bias Podcast KK1 is what the Twitter handle originally stood for from way back in the day when I was only doing the West Coast Bias Podcast, not even the radio show that you know now
see,
that you enjoy every Sunday. The podcast.
What you need to do now is create a new account. That's the Kevin Kendrick, and then the put the tagline above it, double K or K double, and we start building all your followers on that. So you'll have two pages with possibly two different clientele and different fans on each one, and we'll be able to promote even more.
All right. I'll have to go in there and do that. So, yeah, by next show, I'll have another Twitter for y'all.
Twitter accounts, man. Actually, I got 5, but I forgot the passwords to 2.
Oh, man. All right, y'all. I got daddy stuff to do. Cole got drugs to drink and drugs to take. So
yeah, I don't drink no more. I just do drugs.
Well, Cole got some drugs to take, and I got some daddy shit to do. So we'll check y'all out next week. Listen in, because y'all know we're going to be here reliable as fuck every week for the past, what, I want to say 3-4 months. We've been here in your ear giving you that good wrestling talk. So keep listening in. Raw Impact Unleashed. And, Blog Talk Radio.
And
y'all know it.
I have been officially informed that at the end of this month, I will be moving back to Northern Cali, to the Bay Area. So depending on the days I move, I might miss a show. And I hate to say that because we've been on such a long run. So I might be calling you from the road, cutting in and out, because I got T-Mobile. And they lied. They was like, we got nationwide. And I'm like, you got fucking dark spots all over the fucking nation, you dumb.
Well, I'll say it like this. Regardless of what happens, if Cole can make it, we'll do an amazing show with Cole on the road. If Cole ends up not being able to make it, you'll still get a Raw Impact Unleashed light. I'll jump on. I might be able to convince, like I said, that old friend of the show, Jamil, to pop in and do a quick 45-minute show with me or something. And just do some quick talking with him about wrestling and the state of his business today and so on and so forth. So either way, you're going to get a show no matter what every week. We'll work it out. Just tune in and see. But be sure to be here every Thursday night at 8, because we will. All right, y'all. Cole, I think this is going to be it for us. Ding, ding.
All right, man. Let's go home.
For sure, for sure. Peace.
Get easy. We'll be right back.